In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Guy Montgomery.
Oh, is this it?
Yeah. Guy Montgomery.
Yeah, and Tim Batt.
Podcast
together.
In a tree.
Together at last, I was going to say.
Oh, a tree. We're but so close we finish each other's sentences.
That's not true. You just said sentences.
Yeah.
I'm saying together at last, but we are together a bit at the moment.
Yeah, it's nice.
It is nice. We're together socially.
Yeah.
I'd say we're together professionally.
I don't know if we've brought the... I just want to track how we're doing the time. I don't know if we've shared with our wonderful libertarian listener residing in the great state of Alabama that you rented a house for us to stay in recently, which was such a pro move. And we intended to do some podcast work, and then we thought, you know what would be better than that?
Not. Yeah. Well, the goal was to... because I felt so rinsed by 10 years of, I don't want to say dreading spending time with you, but certainly it was not a straightforward hang.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
It had become complicated.
Do you think, had that association between me and watching a bad movie?
It just meant when I got messages from you, there was, like, very rarely was there a song in my heart.
Yeah.
A lot of the time, my heart would sink like a stone. I'd think, we either, I've forgotten to do something, or there's something we have to do, or we are about to do something bad. And I thought, and this is what I thought, what if I got a message from Tim, and I thought, I wonder how my friend Tim's doing.
Yeah.
And the house booking was part of that.
Yeah.
And I booked us a nice house, too.
Really did. It was sensational. It was in one of the sort of west coast
black sand beaches
of Auckland,
where the waves are wild, and the only thing wilder than the waves are the boys.
Yeah We brought a lot of drugs there, and then we did them, and we went to a waterfall, and we sat in these beautiful rock pools.
Yeah.
And we went to the beach.
Yeah.
It was so nice. And then we listened to music real loud on that sofa.
Yeah.
That was a real throw to the... I've been talking about sort of 70s home architecture recently.
Yeah.
Having a sound system just pointed at a couch, that's got to make a comeback now. TVs are out. It's all about having two big floor speakers and a record player pointed at you.
It's a beautiful way to listen to music, isn't it? Do it deliberately.
Yeah.
I listened to an album that you like.
Yes.
And with an open mind.
Which I appreciated.
And we listened to it from the start to the finish.
Yeah.
It's one of the most challenging musical experiences I've had.
For those curious, it was Noah. And I can't remember, is it Noah Forever?
Spelt
K-N-O-W-E-R. Lewis Cole and Genevieve. I always forget how to pronounce her surname. But
and it's quite
so awesome.
It's quite busy.
Oh, it's so busy. It's the, if you want to repeat this journey, it's the one that's got the government nose on it.
Yeah.
So just look
which
that
I'd seen on YouTube, I think.
Yeah.
And sort of as a novelty experience in isolation, I was like, that's funny.
There's a whole album accompanying that.
The rapper they put around it was intense.
So anyway, it's great to be with you.
Well, and now we're together in trees. Yeah. And this, to me, this is the sort of thing I like doing.
This is nice, though. This is nicer than challenging. And even, absent that challenging album, though, the rest of it was a pretty flawless victory.
Oh, absolutely. And even the challenging album was part of the experience.
And we listened to Floating Point, which you put on.
Floating Point, yeah,
which got us back on a good...
I just thought we probably needed to strip things back a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
I certainly...
That was wise.
I was certainly in a position where I needed to just slow things down a touch.
Sure, sure.
And now we're in a park and we're in a, one of the things about this podcast really highlights to me how little I know about trees. While I respect trees and enjoy trees, I can't identify trees.
It's one of those things where I'm always like, I get in a tree and I'm like, now this is a birch wood. I don't know what that means or if that's true or what the hallmarks of a birch tree are.
Well, do you know, we could, we've got a guest here.
Yeah.
And they're a guest who I don't know what they know about trees. I don't know if they know anything about trees. But the way that they carry themselves in the world suggests to me there is a relationship to nature. I think of this person as being very grounded.
Okay, I can understand where you're going with this.
Shall we introduce?
I would love it if you would. Yes.
Please welcome to the podcast, not to the tree, podcast in a tree, guest on the ground. It's Ben McGugan.
Hey, Ben.
Hey, guys.
How you been?
Lovely to have you with us. I'll give you one of these because you're close enough that I can.
Thank you.
Wow. It's a nice proximity to be into one another. Yeah, we can do that. It's not just across Tim very gently.
Yeah. It's really showing up how barely off the ground we are, but we are still off the ground.
For all the people at home, though, Ben could be really tall.
That's true.
If you're only experiencing the audio, Ben is at eye level with both Tim and myself.
I'm 8'4". And loving the look of I think with you both in shorts, it's very sort of toyetic.
I've never heard that word in my life. What is toyetic?
Look like toys. You look like boys. It's boyetic.
I love that.
It's your sort of legs dangling. Yeah, it's quite sweet.
We look like toy boys.
We are a couple of little toy boys. Was Guy correct in his assumptions about your earthy, grounded, naturally connectedness?
Listen. Me and Gaia, like that.
Wow.
But I don't know the names of the trees either.
Yeah.
I know their names.
Oh, yeah. This?
Gerald.
Gerald.
Yeah, okay.
You know,
yeah.
I don't go in for the science.
Yeah.
Just feel it out.
You're so connected to nature that would almost be like eugenics.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Start breaking everyone down to their, you know, genetic components. It's like, this is actually Gerald and he's a whole own person tree.
And we should respect him.
Are we respecting him?
He loving it. He's having a great time.
Yeah.
This is his first podcast.
Well, do you know the reason I think of you as grounded and perhaps knowing about nature is because you are, I would say, the only person I know who lives barefoot.
And fancy free.
Yeah. And fancy free.
Yeah.
None of these highfalutin rubber soles for you, no sir.
No. I will say, I talk a big game about not wearing shoes. One of my feet is pretty fucking sore.
Is it?
I've been doing a lot of walking.
Why is it sore?
It's just a lot of gravel, a lot of roads,
sore,
a lot of miles.
Sore from mileage.
Yeah.
Sore in a way that is like inside of the foot, like a bone or muscle or cartilage thing, or sore like...
Just externally. Kind of way you would expect to be sore if you took off your shoes and walked on the roads.
For ages.
You've been doing this for a while, though.
But even this, like, as long as I've known you, I would assume that you'd have a leathery base.
Oh, it is. It's quite hard. Mm. I've always just not worn shoes.
Yeah.
I had to wear them for, you know, work and, like, school. But I told them at school that it was part of my religion. And I got away with it.
Did you?
Wow.
Yeah. What religion did you claim to be?
I said I was Shinto.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you know much about...
S-H-I-N-T-O with the
with a macron.
No E. You say,
I mean, it's, you know, it's Japanese anyway. So if you don't know how to do the kanji?
Is Shinto, is that because it is tethered to, you know, foot or leg related stuff as well? Was that part of the...
It was just sort of, you know, in Japan, you take your shoes off before you enter a house.
Yeah.
And like, that's what the spirits were telling me to do. It was all bollocks. I didn't know anything about it.
Of course. And was there a period, aside from there, like, have you had to navigate other periods where, you know, societal norms dictate a pair of shoes might be a good idea and you say, but you don't understand?
I'm Shinto.
And what, are they too restrictive? Is this you know, you'd know about Gerald the tree. What are my left and right feet thinking about this situation right now?
That's not how it works. Your guy.
Yeah.
You are a guy.
Yeah.
Right? Your feet are not individuals, and mine aren't either, and your shoes certainly aren't. I don't know, man. I just don't like it. I get hot.
Yeah.
I get hot.
You get hot.
I run hot.
Do you wear hats?
Not as much as I should. I've been thinking about getting into hats. What do you reckon? Do you think I can pull off hats?
I think you'd look 100%. Fantastic.
You look good now. You'd look good in a hat. It's up to you, baby.
You do play around with your hair a bit too.
I do. Yeah. I've gone blue. Yeah. I'm bleach blonde right now. I've got my team, Ruby Estill of McKenzie. They advised me.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Do they help you do it?
They love doing it.
Yeah,
they do the hair for you.
Yeah, they do it for me.
That's good, because that's an expensive process.
Do you consider them to be like stylists?
Yeah, they're my style team. They're my gurus.
Do they do the wardrobe as well?
No, they don't touch that.
Who does the wardrobe?
Ben McGee. It's all Ben McGee.
Wow.
You've got to have a line in the sand.
Yeah.
Where it's your stuff.
But so to round back to a question, I distracted myself by thinking about my own feet selfishly.
Can I say this for a sec?
Yeah.
And Ben, you can answer this, of course, because you're a full-blown adult. Are you sick of talking about the fact that you're bare feet a lot of the
fuck
time?
Yeah, fuck yeah. I'm dead sick of it. Shut the fuck up. I don't know.
I feel like a lot. Maybe I talk to you about it a lot. I feel like you would get a lot of chatter about it.
Yeah, I just don't find it very interesting.
Yeah.
No, of course.
I've been trying to write jokes about it my entire comedy career, and I can't. I don't have anything.
Because it's just like, I just don't have shoes on.
Yeah.
That's the bit.
It's like you wearing shoes, you know?
Yeah, that's a hard thing to write a gag around.
Yeah.
It's just shoes.
Well, you say, it's pretty weird that we wear shoes. There's your setup. You know?
a little dress for your foot?
Yeah, we didn't always wear shoes.
I think I might have talked to you about this before, but I remember ages ago, I was watching a podcast or something. I want to say the guy was a podiatrist. Is that a foot doctor?
Yeah.
And he was talking about how shoes.
Pediatrician is the one that gets muddled up.
That's right.
Yeah.
Kid doctor.
Yeah. Not a child who's a doctor, mate.
You got it. Not a Doogie Howser. Yeah. Someone treating Doogie. Shoes kind of fuck up our natural, sensory sort of connection to the ground, and might be a part of the reason why we have such bad hips as we get older. Because we're kind of like, it would be like wearing gloves all the time, was the analogy they use. It would be like going through life wearing gloves all the time. You're sort of dulling your ability to sense like where the pressure is being put on your feet and being able to adjust your body accordingly. What do you make of that?
Well, I think thieves must wear gloves a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But not 24/7.
No.
Not to the point where you kind of like lose sensation.
Well, in urban cities, they talk about grounding yourself. They talk about earthing yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're meant to go and, you know, because it's so unnatural to them to do it. You're meant to consciously take your fucking shoes and socks off and go and get some grass in between your toes and whatnot.
That's an electricity thing, though.
Is it?
Yeah, that's literally.
Is that what powers
right?
everything?
You know about this, right? Yeah. No. Isn't it? Grounding is when they.
They, yeah.
Are talking about grounding.
Don't get me started on them. I had a Buddhist nun tell me it means that I'm spiritually grounded once.
Man.
Yeah, so you'd get people telling you all sorts of shit. I once tried to fly on a plane. I would have been about 13, 14. I once tried to board a plane barefoot.
Yeah.
Wouldn't let me.
Nah, I got in real trouble. I tried to go on the plane barefoot and they're like, you can't do that. And I jokingly said, well, at least you know I don't have a shoe bomb. And they did not like me.
No, wow.
They did not like me mentioning
There's your material.
Yeah, true, actually. You're helping.
Yeah.
Did you claim religious reasons for the plane at all?
No.
I just put shoes on.
I just did what I was told at that point.
Yeah. Airports, man. They think they're so
smart. They take themselves very seriously.
They really do, man. Airports need to chill out. I get it. Like, a few bad things have happened. But in the grand scheme of flying,
most of them go off
so much
a
shit hasn't gone wrong.
I
don't know if this is still true, but apparently the TSA, you know, the American, the Transport Safety Association, I don't even know what it stands for, but whatever they invented after 9/11, where they like, you know, give you metal detectors as you get on planes and stuff, it's cost billions and billions of dollars. It has not thwarted a single terrorist attack ever.
Wow.
And it's like the thing it was set up to do.
Yeah, it's made traveling a lot worse.
Yeah. So to their credit, they have done a phenomenal job of that. Yes.
Yeah. That's good.
I want a looser experience back at the airports. You know, those heady days of the 80s and 90s where you just kind of... I have a perception of it, I think, more seeing it in movies and TV. Yeah. But it felt like international travel was just so much easier. You swan in.
Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't be in a line for 3 hours and get strip searched and x-rayed.
It's the swanning I miss.
Yeah.
The most.
Yeah.
Right?
Walking around like your cock of the world. Just really strutting.
Especially getting onto an international flight.
Yeah.
Nothing's more like cool than walking onto a plane going, I'm going to be in a different border soon.
You ever go on a long plane and just see how long you can not do anything? So like you go in, no book, no drink, no screens.
Awesome.
Just sit.
Not tried that. That's meditation, really.
Wow, yeah. I'd imagine it's pretty disconcerting for like other passengers.
If you're just sitting, staring straight, are you allowed to look out the window? Or like?
I guess, you know, it's your.
I like no.
Yeah, just fully locked in.
Eyes just directly in front of you. Just
what's the TSA going to do about that?
And like,
you're meeting all of their standards.
Fists balled on your knees, school photo style.
I don't like
just
that.
Looking.
I don't like the fists being balled.
They're not tight, but they're balled and just dead eye look in front of you at the seat.
The person next to you goes, are you a nervous flyer? You go, nope.
That would be good. That would be a good, fun thing to do. What was the last plane you got on, Ben?
Just come back from Blenheim.
Was that a big plane or a little plane?
Little plane.
That would only be little.
Our special guest, a plane, is joining us now, as you may hear.
It's actually a helicopter. I can see it.
Ah, planes of the lower
the
sky.
Planes
of the hospital.
Yeah.
What was Blenheim like?
Lovely. Was
Do you like it?
Yeah, I mean, we were sort of out of Blenheim a little bit for our stay. Me and David Correos on a vineyard.
Hell yeah.
And in this little cottage, really, really luxury accommodation.
Really?
Yeah, outdoor baths.
Oh,
David
love
got addicted
that.
To the outdoor bath.
Is that you have to like fire up the coal fire
gas.
Or whatever?
No, oh, it's okay. All, yeah, no, oh, it was real easy.
Bougie.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
And you filmed, you're a very funny stand-up comedian, and you filmed your show under unique circumstance, I think.
Yeah. Well, that was the idea, was to make it look unique, to make it look not like other comedy specials.
Hell yeah.
Not like good ones. Make it look weird.
So where did you film it?
Like, on the vineyard, there's this little section. It looks like a sort of stone Viking hall. And it was lit by lots of little candles behind, and
whoa. It's
quite romantic, really.
That's and who so came?
Just like old biddies from around Blenheim.
Ben McGugan fans?
Nah, they didn't know me before that.
What kind of audience?
They are fans now, though, you know what I mean?
You want them over?
Ben McGoo.
When you're committing something to celluloid, you want to make sure there's as many old women who have never heard of you before.
Hell yeah.
There to cheer you on.
Yeah.
I got so much respect for this, Ben, because the internet is like awash with self-produced stand-up specials at the moment, I think. And you got to find a way to stand out.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of them, and some of them are quite good.
Yeah, sadly.
Yeah.
Guy's got one coming out soon.
A lot of them are good. A lot of them.
Boring.
No, well, it's not interesting. It's just, you know, and a lot of them, you're meant to make it look like you didn't self-produce it. You're meant to make it look to a standard that it's like, this is pretty slick.
Yeah. Lame.
I like this sort of boutique wool shed, 15 like pensioners from Blenheim coming out to get behind you. I think it's really, you know,
I think it speaks to your abilities as a performer to put on a good show.
Yeah, how'd you feel?
Gig wise was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was.
You're not especially filthy, are you?
Well, I am a hack. But these. These ladies, so I do talk about my stinky pinky quite a bit, but these ladies were loving it.
Yeah.
No, these old biddies, we don't give them enough credit.
Don't underestimate the other 60s,
nah,
eh?
Nah, man, they like it nasty. They like it dirty. Yeah. They love it. They don't get that shit.
They've been there. They've done that. They know what you're talking about. It hasn't come up recently.
Yeah.
They've done nastier shit than you could even dream
you ask,
of.
You ask them back to the outdoor baths afterwards?
I wish. I had to head off back to the home.
I've always wanted to film a stand-up special. There is a laundromat in Grey Lynn.
Oh, yeah?
On New North Road, I think.
And North. Is it the one in the Grey Lynn shops? It's like a 24-hour one.
Yeah. Next and it used to have windows, then it just they kept getting damaged so often that they just removed all the windows. Yeah, so now it's just an open-air laundromat.
Oh,
and
I think I know the one you're talking about.
When I first moved to Auckland, me and my mate Barnaby lived just down the hill from it in this place called Shirley Road, which was funny. It was the only place we could afford to live in Grey Lynn, little shoebox apartment, riddled with mushrooms, leaky walls. It was tiny, got no sun. And my friend, who was doing a criminology degree, mapped the like reported crimes of Grey Lynn Ponsonby. And the map was colour-coded, and everything was in blue and green, which is chill, except literally our street, our little street, Shirley Road, was this red line in the middle of this oasis of calm.
Hell yeah.
And it was a great time, and we didn't have a laundry there, so that I remember trekking up the hill with all my bits, and I'd sit down there, and I'd put my washing in, and I'd write jokes in my notebook while my washing was happening. And I still remember it so, like, fondly. That time.
I was going to say it would have been full of criminal activity because of the daylight robbery you boys were getting on this apartment in Grey Lynn.
From memory, $80 a week maybe when we moved there. This is a long time ago.
Black mold though.
Killer.
Not good.
Risking a lot.
And yeah, my flatmate had health issues, so it wasn't an ideal situation.
I've done laundry at that laundromat.
It's good, right?
Yeah.
Do you like a laundromat? Because you live in New York City,
did,
man.
I did.
Home
I like
of the laundromat.
I liked. I did like it. It's sometimes you like it. It's like a luxury, like the luxury is having the time to enjoy it instead of like, it's fucking inconvenient.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, when you want to do your laundry and you've got to walk 400 meters down the road.
But when you're 22 and you don't have any money, but you do have time.
Yeah.
It's kind of a nice.
It's kind of sweet. I like it. I like the, in New York where they've got the laundromat in the apartment building, you know?
Yeah.
I want to experience that.
Well, that's like, you know, no washer dryer in building, so laundromat, and then it would go washer dryer in building is like a nicer building because you don't have to leave the building to do it. And then an apartment is like, you know, that's out of sight. That's unbelievable. Yeah. The idea that anyone would have that.
That would set you back a pretty penny, I bet.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Wow!
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Now, Tim, you know I'm a huge advocate for hiring an objective, professional, licensed professional to tell my problems to, so that when they tell me what they think, I know I'm getting it straight. That's where BetterHelp comes in.
That's right. BetterHelp have a big pile of professionals to talk to at your convenience online. You've done a bit of therapy, right, Guy?
I started doing therapy during, there was a pandemic, I don't know if you remember, and the benefits were immediate and long-lasting. They help give you skills that you can use when you are in stressful or anxious situations. Honestly, it's changed my life for the better.
I guess that's why they call it BetterHelp. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp.
Visit betterhelp.com/alltime today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, help.com/alltime.
Would.
Yeah. So the concept of having like a washer and a dryer in your home in New York City is pretty.
It's not, no one would expect that, really.
I like that. This is what I was saying about swimming pools.
Yeah.
Laundry should be a public service, you know? I'm not saying it should be like not privatized or whatever, but it doesn't make sense for everyone to have their little tub individually in their house.
It does, because people have lots of laundry to do.
It's
not like...
Environmentally, it's so much better to have a few big machines everyone has to come to and use.
Of course, but...
shared goods. How you build a community. You have a watering hole.
We used to just go down by the river, didn't we, back in the day? Just bash them out.
Flapping away.
Bash them out on the rocks.
On the rocks.
Have you guys ever washed clothes in a river?
Tramping, but that's it.
Yeah, I washed it in a kitchen sink before.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have... our washing machine was broke and we didn't have hot water, so I had to boil the jug to put in, and then I put dishwashing liquid in a few herbal tea bags in there.
No,
but so it wouldn't smell.
Were you sober?
Yeah.
The tea bags, would they discolour the water and laundry?
No, they were like sort of clear, they were like lemony.
Yeah, right.
You know, what you'd expect washing powder to be scented anyway.
That's great.
You weren't putting any wild berry or any crazy...
Maybe I should.
Raspberry tea. Time's marching on. I'm going to introduce a segment and then I'm going to bring something up which has come to my head.
Okay.
It's time for everyone's favourite segment, drugs in a tree.
Okay.
So, we're not going to do the drugs now because, reveal, Guy and I did the drugs about 50 minutes ago. And the drug we did today is LSD.
Wow. Slow release. Are you feeling any of it?
I reckon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I reckon I'm in a good spot now.
I'm certainly starting to feel...
When you started talking about feet being individual people, I was like, he's on mine. Yeah. Here we go.
Well, you know, to my credit, I do think about that in the cold light of day sometimes too.
It's true,
too. I think basically... You know, in comedy, it pays to anthropomorphize everything and work backwards from there.
Start with that as your starting point.
It's how Pixar make movies.
Ben?
That's true.
They're like, this has feelings.
Yeah.
What's your relationship to acid?
Love it. Yeah. Took a big break from it for like years because I thought I sort of clocked it.
Nice.
I thought I'd done all I could do. Made a recent return. Done two trips and had a great time both times.
That's so good.
Yeah. Yeah. When you say you clocked it, what does that feel like to see the end credits of acid?
It's quite nice, really. It's sort of like, it wasn't like goodbye forever. It was like, see you later, you know?
You see like, is it like a list of names of psychotherapists in the 1960s?
Yeah. the names of the snakes that came out of my curtains that one time. it was sweet.
Yeah.
Was it a situation where you like did so much once that you were like, got through that, we're good, maybe we don't revisit it for a while? Or was it the case that you did it so many times and you were like, I'm good, I'm getting out of here?
Yeah, the latter. I just like never had a bad time with
That's so good.
And just sort of, felt like I was done.
Was I talking about you about this? Do you sometimes consider drug taking or a drug experience to be like a, you don't think of bad trips, right? It's like mental feats of strength.
I don't know if this is objectively true, but I think it's an important way to frame it.
Yes.
Taking drugs. There's no such thing as a bad trip. There are challenging trips.
Yeah. You're looking at bits of information that you perhaps weren't planning to.
But there's a lesson to be learned in all of them, and you've just got to treat it, you know. No, I think, I've had like quite full-on trips, but I don't know if I would class any as
a bad,
damaging or anything. And I think the people I've talked to who have had particularly bad times are people who like do heaps all at once without experience, wig out, don't like having their hands off the wheel.
I think it's also
try to put their hands back on the wheel.
When you're trying to outrun a bad trip, that's a loser's game because it's happening and
it's not going
to
work.
Do you have any tactics for when it begins to be challenging to sort of...
You mean to move towards the fear.
Mm. Are you?
Yeah.
You mean to embrace it?
Well, because your subconscious brain is delivering it to you and you can't override it because your subconscious is driving so much of what's happening. And so if you look at it, it sort of disempowers or at least addresses it in some way instead of being like, I just don't want to.
Oh. You've got to.
Wow.
You've
got to. That can be quite cathartic, I imagine.
Big time.
Yeah.
Are you so like mentally sound that you're just doing heaps of acid and you're like, I'm just 100% this rock.
I'm Ben Magoo. I don't get down, man. I don't get down very often. Yeah, so I don't know.
That rocks.
That does rock.
Yeah.
You don't need to be bashful about that. That's awesome.
How would a guy like me get a Ben Magoog down?
Take your shoes off.
I think he'd love that.
I think I'd enjoy that quite a bit. I don't know. You'd have to beat me up, I guess.
I don't think I could.
I don't think that would take you down either. I think you would find...
Aren't you strong?
I'm stronger than I look.
That was the other thing I wanted to bring up.
Oh, yeah.
So you talk about that.
Well, you... David Krause again, obviously a friend to all, was posting recently about your gym habits.
Yeah.
And without wanting to describe any of them, I thought maybe you could walk us through what you told him and then, you know, what the case study when you took him to the gym under this.
Sure.
You know, if you want.
Yeah, I hope David's all right with it. I'm sure he would be. So I told him, we were hanging out, and I told him sometimes I go to the gym drunk. And he was high and I was drunk. He don't drink and I don't smoke. And so he was like, I've got to see this. And so we went to the gym. I had another beer,
Can I track back as to why you like to go drunk?
Why I like to go drunk? It's sort of, there's an element of like, do you ever run home drunk?
I have.
No, yeah, do you, you know, and you're like sort of, I'm not going to remember this, so I might as well run.
Use it for good.
Yeah. And I've had that conscious thought, and then the run home is a blur. Maybe I remember bits of it, but I'm just like, I wake up, and you know when you feel like you're tired and you've used your body and you feel good?
Yes.
I feel that. And so, like, I go to the gym and I can, like, push a little bit harder.
Yeah, right.
You know, and I just enjoy the experience. I like being drunk. I don't know what to tell you.
That's awesome.
So you and David go.
How drunk are you at the gym? How drunk are you?
I mean, the drunkest I've ever been at the gym, I do not recall.
Wow. You're a risk to yourself and others.
Yeah. I don't remember it. I was like, I woke up with my gym bag there and my shoes, because I do wear shoes at the gym.
Good.
And I was like, oh shit, I must have gone to the gym last night.
I like that some people are like, oh, I went to the casino last night. You're like, oh, I worked out last night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you went with David, how was that?
It's great fun. We were yelling a lot. We really pushed ourselves. He made me do this one where I was on my tummy for a bit, and I did kind of throw back the beer because we wanted to go to the gym, and I did feel a bit bloated. And then on the walk home, he got in an Uber and I walked home, and I messaged him. I go, I threw up on the way home, and then I felt really good, so I did a bunch of push-ups when I got home.
And that's all true?
That's all true.
Man. That's a unique approach to working out.
Ben McGugan, man. He's thinking outside the box.
He really is.
It wouldn't occur to me to get drunk before I go to the gym.
No, I've never been to a gym. So
you've
I've
never been?
No.
We should do a few brews and fucking go to the gym. You'll love it.
I'd like to separate out, and color me crazy, but I do like to pass out my sort of
drinking
and my exercise.
Okay.
Well, yeah, but have you crossed the streams much?
I've run after a few beers, after probably 3 beers max, just to see what it was like. And it was not that nice. It's nicer to run without beer in you. I've run stoned, and again, it's like I'd sooner run. You know, like I've done the research.
Sure.
It's not.
Running's not everything.
Golf. I've tried golf on substances, and that again, it sort of degrades the value of the golf. But in a way, it can also enhance the overall experience.
What is the value of golf?
That's a
it's like any hobby. It's trying to improve at something. It's the satisfaction of incremental improvement at anything.
But is this like golf?
Yeah. But that's everything. Every hobby sucks to someone.
I guess.
Everything is a waste of time.
Yeah.
But this isn't a waste of time because it's time for another segment. I've been buying a variety of different pastries. So how far, what have we tried? We tried...
an almond croissant.
Yeah, in episode 1. And what do we have in episode 2?
An almond croissant from somewhere
else. In episode 3, what do we have?
A different almond croissant.
Well, I've got a big reveal for you today because I've been to a French patisserie and I have for us today... Oh, well, I've only gone and put almonds on this bloody croissant. You know, that really gets my goat. I said, I don't want to see a single fucking almond. That's what I said. You heard me. And then they go and give me this.
We were in there earlier today, and I was like, are you going to get an almond croissant here? He's like, I already got something. It's all good.
Thank you.
He got a fucking almond croissant again, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. There you go.
Thanks, mate.
So let's have a go at this. Do you like these sorts of things?
Hell yeah.
I'm not even mad.
No, well, it would be unusual to be mad because a friend accidentally brought an almond croissant to a tree. It would be an unusual thing to get upset about, wouldn't it?
That was very flaky.
And that's good?
Yeah. This one is beautifully flaky.
Well, the woman I bought it from.
Also flaky.
Yeah, she. I asked her out. she ghosted me. No, she had a French accent.
Mm.
Not for nothing.
Yeah, it was a French patisserie.
Yeah.
Did you know that patisserie is both the bakery and the good?
Well, it's a boulangerie then.
No idea. Is it a...
I think it's a bakery
Dean
too.
Of Iniquity? Oh.
I think a boulangerie is also a bakery.
It's like how the Russians have 20 words for cold, the French have 50 words for bakery.
I think languages seem... I guess it's just everything, isn't it? Anything you don't have all the information on, it seems so alluring.
Mm.
You know when you visit a city and you think, if I lived here, my whole life would be perfect.
Do you know another language, Ben?
I speak not very good Japanese.
Hmm.
But I'm very rusty.
Do you...
What are you made of, tin?
I guess it's hard to compare
got
because...
my ass. Fucking blew my spot up. Shit, Guy Montgomery, fuck.
Yeah, you tango with the best, you better watch out.
Do you, sympathise with that notion that there's a real benefit to learning just any other language to have an alternative way of looking at the world?
I think it's good to do just because what you understand language to be, when you begin to sort of understand what language is, like words don't mean things innately, they're all constructs assembled together and applied to things in reality, as opposed to innate meaning.
Mm-hmm.
You're a deep thinker.
Bimagoog.
You say Bimagoog after you make any good point?
Yeah, it's my fucking catchphrase. I cannot help myself. I'm so sorry.
I like it.
It'd be good on merch, actually.
You should get Ben tattooed on the sole of your foot Magoog on the other one.
I like that, actually. It's sort of like Andy's toys, but exactly. I own myself.
Yeah, you do. You do fucking own yourself, bro.
I gotta go get something.
And if anyone ever lost you, they'd be like, I guess you need to get your address somewhere as well.
Oh, wait, no, I didn't need to leave.
But you did.
I'm back in the
one
tree.
One athlete.
Okay, it's time for another segment.
Okay, you do the segment. I was remembering, this is unrelated, but one of the funniest gags from The Simpsons, I'm just thinking of labels and stuff, one of the funniest gags from The Simpsons is Mo with his head in the oven. In a singlet, and on his back there's just a post-it note that says no funeral.
That show went some dark places.
Mo has some bangers, eh?
He really does.
The segment is called A Little Something For You.
Oh, yeah.
And Ben, we've brought you a gift.
Oh.
That's true.
I was umming and ahhing. I got down to a shortlist on your gifts.
Okay.
And it was between what I ended up getting you and jumper cables.
Okay.
Do you drive?
No.
Well, I'm so glad I got you a voucher for the movies.
That's so much better than jumper cables.
Do you like the movies?
Me? Yeah.
Do you like going?
Yeah, shit, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, whole thing.
What was the last flick you reckon you saw?
It was Godzilla Minus One.
Oh, no.
The new Godzilla.
Yeah.
What happened to the other one? What's the Minus One?
I think it's because it's set in the past.
Oh, prequel. Okay.
So it's like, not Godzilla 1.
Not even 0. They're going into negative integers
I
now.
Remember...
That's clever.
When Godzilla vs. Kong was at the movies, I tried to get so many people to come with me and no one would come.
Oh. Did you watch it?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
It was fine.
Yeah.
It was exactly what I thought and also exactly why people didn't want to go. That was Godzilla Minus One.
Godzilla Minus One rules.
Really?
Yeah. It's really... depressing at parts and really uplifting in parts.
Wow.
It's like very, very strong movie.
Choice.
And Godzilla is terrifying in it. It's great.
That's always
Did you see Godzilla vs. Kong?
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
It was fine. I couldn't tell you a thing that happened in it.
They fight on a boat.
Yeah.
What was the one... was that the one with Millie Bobby Brown in it?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I think it was Julian Dennison in it.
I think he is in one. He's the Kiwi.
He was in Hunt for the Water People. He was in Godzilla vs. Kong.
Yeah, he is.
They supplanted his character from Hunt for the Wilder People when they put him in Godzilla vs. Kong. It didn't quite work, you know? Sure. It's like this quippy...
You gotta take a swing.
You know how quippy they make kids now?
Mm.
Kids are so quippy. Bloody Gen Z.
Back in my day, we were witless morons.
And our verbiage reflected it.
Yeah.
That voucher, I...
What's it good for?
Well, I tried to get 35. That felt like...
Two tickets, maybe? Or a movie and a meal for one.
That's true. Maybe a popcorn and or an ice cream.
You get
prices there.
However, I didn't get you 30 because there are options, apparently. It's 30.
Okay.
It's not 35.
Oh, wow. So that's, I reckon you can get a movie. I reckon for 36, you could get a movie and a popcorn, soda, and a choc top.
Really?
I reckon.
So if you throw it...
I'm going 18 times 2.
If you go on a Tuesday, you might even be able to best that.
Yeah.
And what have you got on a Tuesday?
I got my pub quiz.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Shit.
Well, how's that going? Day? Do you like hosting that?
I do, yeah. Yeah, it's good fun.
Do you make jokes?
No, I just... they're not there for Ben Magoo, they're there for the quiz.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's an important thing to know.
Do you think of jokes?
Yeah, sometimes.
And do you not say those?
I like 50-50. If it's like really good, yeah.
And do they kill?
I've killed harder in that pub quiz than I have in any comedy gig in my life.
And that is probably, honestly, partially down to restraint.
Yeah.
Like when you do turn it on, these people can't believe it.
A joke?
This from dry, Ben the Goon? This dry-ass fucking shoeless, witless quiz host has been fucking mailing it in.
This fucking
week in, week out.
Robot finally fucking chose to
Where
heart.
The fuck did that come from?
Well, there you go. Follow up to your special.
Yeah.
You surprised your quiz audience with a stand-up special.
That sounds so terrible. That would get so
I think so it'd be, but you know what, guy? It'll be pretty different.
Yeah, follow up your stand-up special should pretty be different. You just hosting a quiz. No jokes.
Oh, no, that's cool.
Yeah,
that
cool. That'll be, it's my special's like half an hour and then 2 hours of me dryly hosting a pub quiz.
Hell yeah. Asking people earnestly how many countries border Syria.
Couldn't tell you.
Hey, we're over time. It's been, I'm pretty sure, I actually forgot when I first looked at the,
I'll tell
we're
you
definitely
what,
over time.
We're over ground, hey?
Ben, it's been such a thrill having
you
here.
Yeah, it's been a real delight.
Thanks for being guest. Would you like to plug anything? I'm estimating this will come out in a month and a half from right now.
Okay. My special might be out by then. Either way, follow me on the socials.
Yeah.
I'm the only Ben McGugan in the entire world, so you can't miss me if you just look me up.
M-A-C-G-O-U-G-A-N. McGugan.
Yeah.
The only Ben McGugan in the world.
Yeah, apparently.
Don't get too...
Just hope you're seeing a good example.
Transfixed by that. Guy, do you want to say anything as we close?
Not really. It's been so fun having you here, Ben.
It's been great being
here.
I mean,
we haven't discussed the tree.
Yeah,
we really do. We must.
I think this
Gerald.
Is...
It's, Gerald,
I respect
you.
The tree. And I like this branch, but it's not... For climbing,
can
it's,
you see Gerald's leaning on that other tree there?
Gerald's bursting through that tree.
Gerald's finger blasting that tree.
Yeah, Gerald is...
Crew, can we get a shot of Gerald finger blasting that other tree, please?
I think.
Thanks, Ian.
Here it is. Beauty, 3. Climbability, 2. Vibe,
immaculate.
4.
Yeah, I would boost for climbability, but otherwise I agree with you. I'll give it a 3.
Where are you climbing this tree?
You can. Okay, fine. 2.5 though. You could go up there.
You can
That's
do some
pretty
good climbing here. They've got like it's got like rungs on this branch
a little bit
for you to get up
on.
Quite high.
You could, if you were ambitious, I reckon you could get into that other tree.
No, you don't want to do that.
What do you make of Gerald?
Yeah, are these out of 5, are they?
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
If you want them to be.
Well, I don't want to attribute numerical value to Gerald in much in the same way that I wouldn't say a scientific name.
Wow.
We're all tens in my book.
That is a number. That's
it's a concept.
It's a concept.
Which, as we explored before,
why are you looking like
is
that?
Whatever meaning we attribute to it.
Yeah.
Symbology of language. Go fuck yourself, Guy Montgomery.
It's funny that numbers come under the umbrella of words.
Hey. Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.